dependent on the blessings and mercy of the guardian, who is Grindeshwar Mahadev. The snake adorning his form indicates his servitude to Ananta, who is the Lord who governs false ego. And we therefore appeal to the servant of Lord Sankarshan to relieve us of this false ego that comes between us and the service of the Lord. And as the master of the illusory energy, Durga Devi, who casts a veil over the spiritual nature of Radhakund to protect the pastimes of Radha and Krishna from intrusion of unqualified souls, but then who is qualified? Only those who achieve, to whatever degree he deems appropriate, the blessings of Kundeshwar Mahadev to feel, to sense, and for those who are exquisitely fortunate to actually enter into the pastimes of the Lord in this most holy of all places. The kuns of Govardhan, which adorn the Parikrama path like a garland of jewels, all contain the essence of the mercy of their presiding deity and or pastimes. Kundeshwar Mahadev's kund, Shiva Kori, demonstrates in both historical and metaphorical terms the significance of Kundeshwar Mahadev in approaching Radhakund, or the Lord Shiva, he is the protector and guardian of all temples and tirthas. Shiva Kori is the place. It's a historical pastime. It's deeply metaphorical as well. In the forest of Braj, one she-jackal emerged in the burning heat of the summer season, and she was literally on the verge of dying of thirst. So she came out looking for water and found that life-giving necessity in Shiva Kori. So she began to drink. And when she finished drinking and turned around, she saw that on a very superficial level of the Dham, village boys had surrounded her with sticks to abuse her. And in great fear, she ran down the path into the forest and they chased her. She entered into a foxhole, and those boys with leaves and twigs started fires at the various entrances to the foxhole, intending to smoke her out. And she was screaming piteously in the depths of that foxhole, not really thinking that anyone would be so near and dear as to hear her cries. But there is always someone near and dear to hear us if we call out with devotion upon the holy names. This was just shortly after noon, when Srimati Radharani and her sakyas were just leaving Radhakund and already feeling the anguish of separation. And as it is stated, you can't really relate to the anguish of others unless you've experienced it yourself. So herself feeling that anguish of separation and hearing the piteous screams of some terrified creature, she asked Lalita Devi, "How can anyone be in such distress in my favorite place?" And Lalita Devi, so attentive to the needs, the cares, the service of her mistress, ran off to investigate. She chastised those boys and sent them home. With her own hands, she extinguished the fires and reached into the foxhole. But that she-jackal was so traumatized, she would not even take Lolita's hands. Lolita had to coax her so gently and lovingly. She finally complied, reaching out her paw, taking in Lolita's hand, and by that touch, she felt great hope. And Lolita Devi took her in her arms, at which time the jackal's tears changed from grief to ecstasy. She brought her to Radhakund, and Srimati Radharani, she's looking, is that a jackal? And she addressed that jackal, O Jiva. This address applies to us as well. It is by great fortune that you've achieved residence in the holy land of Braja. Now, perfect that experience by coming here every day to assist us in serving the pleasures of Sri Krishna in his favorite place. And by the blessings of Srimati Radharani, achieved through the favor of Kundeshwar Mahadev, whose mercy is contained in the waters of his kund, that she-jackal became a Braj Gopi. Now this is metaphorical, because a jackal is an outcast to dog society, which is something like us in the Kali Yuga, outcast to Vedic culture. But the mercy of Kundeshwar Mahadev, who is Vaishnavanamita Shambhu, the best Vaishnava, who is compassionate to other Vaishnavas. And that she-jackal burning in the heat is us in the cycle of samsara. And when we call out to Krishna, he sends his mercy in the form of Gurudev, who is the extended hand of the Lord himself. But we are so reluctant even to help, to take that helping hand. And he coaxes, please, take the shelter of Krishna. Take his holy name and make your lives perfect and blissful. This is the blessings of Kundeshwar Mahadev, who, if we appeal to him with humility and sincerity and devotion, he will command his wife to lessen that veil of material energy which covers the Dham and grant us a sense, a feel, a glimpse into the pastimes of Krishna. So we will proceed on parikrama. For those who don't have the time for complete Govardhan parikrama, parikrama of Radhakund and Shyamakund is the essence of that experience. Everything here is arranged as it is in Boma Vrindavan. Kundeshwar Mahadev, the guardian of the west entrance. And this northwest shore would be the residence, the Bhajan Kutir of Raghunath Das Goswami, who, in his final words, expressed his most deeply heartfelt desire in a prayer which expresses in his own words a hope so deep that it is nurturing and sustaining our existence. And he said twice, O Srimati, I am yours only. He wanted him. He wanted her to hear him say that twice. And then he expressed the traumas of his own life. Having achieved the shelter of Mahaprabhu, but then he left this world, at which time I took shelter of Gadadhar Pandit. But the fire of separation is burning too fiercely in his heart. He left shortly thereafter. I took shelter of Sarup Damodar. He could not bear the separation. He departed as well. I went to Braj to commit suicide, but Rupa and Sanatan gave me hope that Lord Garunga is still living through them. But then Sanatan Goswami, that ocean of mercy, departed this world. Shortly after Rupa Goswami left, I've clung to all these columns, these devotion, these Vaishnav stalwarts, but they've all left me. And in that separation, Vrindavan has given me pain. And people say take shelter of Krishna, but even that concept gives me anguish. It's shameful to utter such words, but this is my plight. And if this, at this moment, you, Srimati Radharani, don't show me your mercy, I'm finished. My prospects are over forever. And with those final words, he entered into the eternal shelter of Radhakund. This is also Janava Devi's favorite place when she visits Radhakund. And this is a Sitapal, Sita Devi's favorite fruit, which all started spontaneously dropping off last night to make offerings for Radha Gopinath, which we'll share. From the Sitapal Grove, we circumambulate in clockwise manner, keeping Radhakund respectfully to our right. And after achieving blessings of Kundeshwar Mahadev, in the next sequence of events, we seek the blessings of Lalita Devi, whose mercy is contained in the waters of Herkund, which actually existed at the time that Krishna killed Arishtashira. So thinking that even though that was a hideous Rakshasa monster demon, but since he came in the form of a bull, Krishna was thinking he had to atone by taking bath in the holy waters of Lalita's Kund. After which he called the gopis, and when they approached him and he wanted to resume Rasa Lila, which had been so much disrupted by the appearance of Arishtashira, they told him that you cannot touch us because you are contaminated by the sin, the terrible, grievous sin of killing a boy cow. Krishna said, that wasn't a boy cow. That was a terrible Rakshasa monster demon who just assumed the form of a bull. But Srimati Radharani challenged him that Indra had to atone for his, for killing Vritashura, who was a demon, but he came in the form of a, or was it Brahman, but he came in the form of a demon. So you have to, so Krishna said, well, what do you want me to do? He said, for the sin of killing a boy cow, you have to go to all the 84 major holy waters in creation before you can associate with us again. And Krishna said, but I already took bath in all those holy places because they're contained in Lalita's Kund. And the gopi said, contained in Lalita's Kund? That's just an impression filled with rainwater that Lalita has claimed as her own. But then Krishna called for those deities and they emerged from Lalita's Kund. And how they came there is after Krishna and Lalita Devi were sitting here one day, sharing glorification of their queen, that song went on a tangent in a parallel theme. The glory of Srimati Radharani is parallel with the mercy of Srimati Radharani. And how can the service of the devotees, of the maid servants of Srimati Radharani, become available in this world where all the souls are condemned by their karmic accumulation and sinful reactions? How can they achieve devotional service? So together, Lalita Devi and Krishna concluded that they would bring all those 84 major tirthas of creation to enter Lalita's kund. So Krishna said, I'm purified. I took bath in Lalita's kund. They said, we don't believe it. And then those 84 deities emerged and bowed down. And then Krishna became very arrogant. And he pressed his heel into the earth and he told those deities, come into my kund. And as they surrounded his kund and filled it with their waters and were chanting Purusha Shukta, he took his bath in Shama kund and became even more arrogant. And he told the gopis, now you see, I'm doubly purified, but I can't associate with you, cowherds, because you sided with the demon. And the scriptures tell us that if a king performs sinful activity, all his subjects share in the reactions. And you gopis don't even accept a king, but you do have a queen who sided with a demon, and now you're all contaminated, and I can't associate with you, but I'll let you take bath in my kund to become purified. He said, no. We won't take bath in your kund because the water from your bath is contaminated by your sin of killing a boy cow. And then, Kirtita was the first to realize that when Srimati Radharani gets something on her mind, she's going to see it through. So she told her sakis, get to work. We'll make a kund even more glorious than Krishna's. And they, with her own bare hands, they started excavating the earth. And then Lalita Devi got impatient. She broke her bangles and all the gopis followed suit. And in no time, they excavated this huge impoundment. And Krishna said, that's very impressive, but where's the water? How will you take bath in a kund with no water? We will bring water in millions of buckets from Manasaganga, which is down here. And they actually started doing it. And they started filling Radha Kund. But Krishna noticed that they were perspiring from the labor of carrying that water uphill. So not willing to tolerate so much as a drop of perspiration on the face of his beloved, he motioned to the spokesperson for all those deities in his kund. And that deity emerged with tears in his eyes and head bowed down low. And he approached the feet of the daughter of Rishabhanu and told her that it was by the order of Krishna that we have all assembled here in Braj to fulfill his desire and create his kund and serve him in that way. But we have another desire that goes deeper still. She said, what is it? He said, on behalf of all those tirthas, we want to serve the servants of your devotees. She glanced at Krishna from the corner of her eyes and he said, yes. And then, as Jiva Goswami's version would have it, Krishna poked his flute through the dike separating Shamakund with Radhakund. And through his flute, the waters of Shamakund entered and swirled around Radhakund. And that water blossomed into lotuses and lilies, and all the trees on the shoreline burst into bloom with flowers and fruits. And then the Rasalila that had been so much disrupted by the appearance of Aristasura resumed with deeper and sweeter rasa than ever before.
Arrivo!
Arrivo!
So, we are trying to follow a schedule, and we'll leave you with the freedom to beseech the blessings of Lita Kund. And the same principle that Srimati Radharani delights in a position of submission to her senior Sakhi Lalita, a principle which extends into Chaitanya Lila, in Mahaprabhu's placing Swarup Damodar as his secretary. Not the kind of secretary who does your paperwork and all that, but the one who would be vigilant that nothing was presented to Mahaprabhu that contained any scent of rasabasa or mayavad or anything which would be displeasing to the Lord. So from the Lita's Kund we proceed westward, and this tree marks the site of Julanstali, which was where when Srila Rupa Goswami would visit Raghunath Das Goswami in the grove between Chitra and Vishakas, then one day Sanatan Goswami arrived and they bowed down and offered him a seat. And these Goswamis would gather daily and discuss their realizations of the expansive Vedic Shastra which Mahaprabhu had commissioned them to study, to present a synopsis in the form of a sadhana that we can follow. So they would share their realizations, their writing projects, their realizations. So Sanatana Goswami asked his younger brother Rupa, "What have you been writing lately?" He said, "Chatushpushpanjali, a handful of prayers to Srimati Radharani." He said, "Would you decorate our ears with the ornaments of your literary achievement?" And he recited one verse. "O Srimati Radharani, whose complexion is like Gaurachan or molten gold, whose garments are like blue lotuses, and whose nature is sweet, and whose braid is like a serpent with a brilliant jewel glistening on where her hair is covered on the top." And hearing this, Sanatana Goswami, "What did you say?" And he repeated the verse. He said, "I can't accept this verse. How can you compare the braid of Srimati Radharani, who is so sweet, tender, innocent, and loving, to a lowly serpent of this world? How could you do that?" And Rupa Goswami bowed down. "Yes, my brother, you're so right. Please suggest a more suitable metaphor." So Sanatana Goswami began contemplating the jewel on the top of her head, which glistens down her braids, is something like the moon reflected on the crisscross waves of the ocean where it meets a bay. But then the moon is kind of, you know, yellowish and has pot marks. So that won't do for the jewel, although the other part's okay. So Venus twinkling in the twilight sky, because Venus is just like that jewel. But then the twilight sky is still tinged with, you know, blue and saffron from the sunset. That won't do. He was thinking, and his mind just went blank. He never experienced this before. So it was noontime, and he entered in on the far shore to take bath in Radha Kund. He first offered his prayers and obeisances, and just began to enter into the water when he heard the sweetest music of young, innocent girls singing devotional lyrics. He didn't pay too much attention. He began to enter into the water, but then he looked in this direction and he saw that there was these young girls, 12, 13 years of age, who were swinging another girl. And then some of the ropes dangling down from the swing, which they used to pull it back and forth, he saw a serpent climbing up the rope with his hood expanded right behind the girl's head. And he jumped out of the waters of Radhakund and began running. Now, he's an old, old man. And he was running, flailing his arms and screaming, "Look out! Molly, beware! There's danger! There's a snake! A snake! It's a snake!" And then those young girls looked at him in such a sweet and charmed manner and smiled so lovingly and affectionately upon him, and then the scene just vanished. There was no swing, there was no girl, but the tree still had a slight golden luster to it, and those voices reverberated and echoed back and forth across Radhakund, and then he just fell unconscious. Now, Rupa and Raghunath, all they heard was he's crying out, "Snake, snake," and now he's unconscious, and they were fearful. They ran, but there was no indication of a snake bite, but he was unconscious. So they just began chanting to him, and in time he came back to consciousness, but he wouldn't say what happened. All he would say is, "My dear younger brother, your simile is perfect." Srimati Radharani herself has affirmed that your choice of words should not be altered in any way. And now, Rupa Goswami, you are my guru through whom I have achieved Srimati Radharani's mercy. And Rupa Goswami felt defeated. No, you're always my guru eternally. Now, I don't know what you're talking about that I've received, but whatever it is, it can't be anything that I haven't received from you. And the exchange and the competition of humility between the Vaishnavas is such a wonderful thing. Where is Muniraj?
I'm right here. Okay, I had a question. Can you tell us about the appearance of the deity of Srimati Radharani in Vrindavan?
Which deep?
The only way to deal with Muniraj's question is just to satisfy
Radha.
Which deep? There are many deities there.
Like, the nectar, I think you're saying Radharani's appearance, how is she appearing?
When the Goswamis discovered Madana Mohan and Govinda, he had no consort. Gopinath appeared with a consort, but she was too small to be really Srimati Radharani, so who is that person on his right side in the temple? So really, in a sense, none of the major deities, Madan Mohan, Govinda, or Gopinath, had a Radha. Purushottamajana, the son of King Prataparudra, was really troubled by this. So he acquired two deities to send to Vrindavan to be the consorts of Madan Mohan and Govinda. And the devotees were very happy to receive these, but then Madan Mohan's pujari had a dream. Madan Mohan told him that the sender of these deities is not aware that one is Radha and one is Lalita, and they are to go with Madan Mohan, which they did. Word got back to Purushottamajana, and he looked, and he searched, and he tried to find another deity to be the consort of Govinda, but he was not successful. And very troubled at heart, when he fell asleep, Srimati Radharani appeared to him and said, I'm actually here in Orissa, in the temple of Jagannath, where I am, you know, served as Lakshmi. I'm not Lakshmi at all. I'm Radha. So send me to Govinda. Now, how did that deity end up in Jagannath's temple in Orissa? When Sakshi Gopal walked from Vrindavan to Orissa to bear witness as the servant of his servant, Radha also came. And she took up residence in the house of one very, very sweet, gentle, saintly Vaishnava named Brihadbhanu, who served Srimati Radharani as his daughter. And if he could not see her for a second, that became an unbearable period of time. He served with such devotion that when he departed this world, the residents of Radhanagar didn't know how to continue serving that deity, because who had that kind of devotion? The word reached the king of Orissa, and he didn't know how to answer this dilemma, so he came personally to Radhanagar. He was contemplating how to continue the succession of serving this deity when she's accustomed to be cared for as the daughter of this Brihadbhanu. So he was perplexed, as was everyone else. And then she appeared to him in a dream that night. He said, just take me back to your capital, Puri, and install me in Jagannath's temple. Which he did. And then over time, people forgot that this is actually Srimati Radharani. They thought, she's in Jagannath's temple, she must be Lakshmi, and she reciprocated with that mood by appearing as Lakshmi Devi. But then she appeared in the dream of Buddha Shukmuji, I'm not Lakshmi at all, and I can't live in Jagannath's temple any longer. I have to go home to Vrindavan, so send me to Govinda. And she did. So now Madan Mohan and Govinda both have a consort, Radha. But then when Janava Devi, who had a special affinity for Radha Gopinath, was looking during darshan, she was thinking that Radha is too small for Gopinath. Gopinath appeared with a very small consort. And Janava Devi was thinking, she's too small. But she didn't tell anybody. And that night in her dream, Gopinath appeared to her and said, you're right, my consort is too small. And then that little consort appeared and told her, you're right, I am too small. So she had a disciple who was Astapati. She asked him to sculpt a new, larger deity for Gopinath, which he did. But this Astapati was so devoted to Janava Devi that the deity came out looking just like her. But she was the right size, so they put her on Gopinath's left side. But then what to do with the other deity? So they put her on Gopinath's right side, and in due course of time, it became revealed. And also, Jiva Goswami, he commissioned a deity of Anandamanjari to be placed with Radha Gopinath, because when Janava Devi's time came to depart this world, she went before Radha Gopinath, and Gopinath extended his hand, placed her on his right side, and Janava Devi revealed her ontological form of Ananda Manjari, for which that deity became hence known as Ananda Kanai Rai, the worshipful devotion of Radha's little sister,
united with Radha and Krishna in the form of Gopinath. So, I've been informed that we're supposed to follow a schedule, which means that at this time we will have prasadam. Thank you very much for joining us. Radha and Krishna's favorite place to celebrate her birthday. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai, Gaur Premananda
ki jai, Shri
Radha Dani ki
jai,
Shri Radha Dani ki
jai,
Shri Radha Dani ki
jai,
Shri Radha Dani ki
jai.
Awesome.